Welcome to another episode of the David Mead Podcast. On today's episode, I have special guest with me, Kevin Gordon. Now, this is a chat I've been looking forward to for a very long time. I played under 20s at the Gold Coast Titans with Kevy. I played a fair few first grade games there, and a lot of the guys that we've played with have been asking me to get Kevin Gordon on the podcast. So the day has finally come. I look forward to this chat, Kevy. It's good to have you on.
Yeah, it's been a long time in the running, but we're finally here and in the moment, and we're going to get deep and serious, and yeah.
We won't be too serious.
Yeah, I don't know how serious we can get.
Yeah, I've never been serious with you throughout my whole rugby league career, so.
It's going to be a tough 45 minutes.
Tough for some people. We'll see. It'll be interesting.
Nah, it'll be good.
I want to ask you a little bit about your rollerblading. You still doing that?
Yeah.
What's the inspiration behind the rollerblading up and down Burley, Miami there?
Miami, yeah. I always loved to do it as a kid. And, you know, a few years ago, I got back into it. And when I was in LA, I bought some rollerblades and went up and down the Santa Monica there. And, yeah, that was fun. Then I come back to Australia and, you know, I was a new man and could do whatever I want. And I was just like, I'm going to get back into rollerblading. You know, you think about what you like to do as a kid, and that was something that I loved to do. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that. You know, I don't care what anyone thinks. I'm just going to do it. And, yeah, it just brings happiness and joy and this freedom of to do whatever you want. That's sort of what it brings to me when I do it. So
I'm sure it brings a lot of joy to other people too.
Yeah.
When you're skating, it's called skating or rollerblading up and down.
Yeah, rollerblading. Yeah.
So, up and down Miami there.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm just trying to radiate the light and the joy and hopefully bring some more smiles to the people that are walking along and, you know, bring the light and the energy up of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we like to see, Kevy.
Yeah.
It's good to see you.
Hey? Yeah, you too, mate.
For those who don't know you or your story too much, you grew up in Coffs Harbour. What was that like?
Yeah, born and raised in Coffs Harbour, New South Wales there. And, it was a good upbringing. I just, a nice little town on the beach and played footy. Footy was like the main sport back there. And, yeah, went up through the ages playing footy, and I played soccer and did athletics and a bit of cricket, pretty much every sport, you know, just doing whatever I felt like doing sort of thing in the sporting world. And sort of, yeah, football was the main one that I started to focus on when I was like 16. And, yeah, sort of just from 16 onwards, I sort of made that goal to just play rugby league and be the best I can.
Yep. You certainly were the best you could be, I think, when we were playing footy. I think back to some of our days training under 20s and first grade. Do you have any memories that come to mind? I've got a few that I'll share.
Yeah, I've got a few. I think one that comes to my mind is when we used to do carpooling and, you know, we used to pick each other up before training and stuff. And I think, one or two times there that I'd come knocking on your door and didn't get an answer or anything. I was just like knocking for a few minutes. And luckily, you told me where the key was, and it was under the doormat there. So I got the key and just walked upstairs and opened your door. You're still sleeping there. Still sleeping. Like, you're sleeping through your alarm or something. And I was like, matey, get up. Got to get a trainer. So, you know, it could have been like, that could have been the end of your career there. You know, it's like a defining moment. You know, if I didn't come up and wake you up, you're like, you know, you could have got the sack and, you know, your under 20s career could have been over. So, you know, it could have been anything could have happened there if I didn't. Yeah,
that's a good point. I forgot about that moment, actually.
Yeah, you know.
That is a career defining moment.
Yeah, put that in the highlight reel.
I remember that now. That was, I remember that at the time. At the time, it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
When I woke up, I was like, oh, shit. I got to leave in 5 minutes. I think I skipped breakfast, got ready real quick, just made it to training on time.
Yeah. Things I do for him, eh? Yeah. Things.
When you first moved up in under 20s, I remember, I think you were still trying to work out a place to stay.
Oh, yeah.
And you stayed with us for a week.
Yeah.
So you stayed in our spare room, where that spare room had like all our storage things in there.
Yeah.
There's only a little space on the floor.
Yeah. That's what
we found some. Yeah. We found some cushions and like maybe some towels or a spare blanket or something that you could used for a week. I remember we went to Aldi that week. We bought, remember what we bought? Tuna pasta bake. Lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
I think the trolley had $100 worth of shopping in it because we're from Aldi.
Yeah.
We split the cost and I'm pretty sure we lived off that for a week between two people. So that was a pretty good effort.
Yeah, we're just like cooking it up and the next day, put it in the fridge and the next day we have lunch sorted, take it to training or come back and eat it after training. And yeah, it's an athlete's choice.
Yeah.
Putting you on the budget. Yeah, it was so good. Yeah,
I think I was on $200 a week. That was my living away from home allowance. $80 went to rent. I think $40 went to fuel. And so what's that left? $80 left for food.
Yeah.
I had to, I did have help from family whenever I was short, but I remember eating a lot of tuna pasta bake because it was the cheapest meal. Cheapest meal, and it could feed, it could literally feed like a family of eight.
Yeah.
The amount we cooked. Because I remember we ate a lot too.
Yeah.
When we were training that much.
Yeah, when we take turns cooking and see who can be do the best dish. Limited edition, limited best, conditions.
The best tuna pasta,
best tuna pasta bake.
With the same sauce.
Yeah,
good times. I saw a lot of the, you know, you're just the type of person who was like hardworking. I remember you used to say persistence, perseverance, those types of words, and you used to say a lot of the times, cry now, laugh later. Do you remember that? Can you elaborate a bit on that?
Yeah. I think I was. Yeah, the first year under 20s, I didn't drink the whole year. I remember I didn't, all the other boys were drinking and getting on it sort of thing. I sort of made the sacrifice to not drink that year. And yeah, I feel it was like a pretty big moment. I'll put it like because drinking is sort of a bit not good for the body when you're a professional athlete, and sort of coming up through the ranks, it was something that I decided to do and be disciplined with it. And yeah, my dreams and my goal and my passion was to be the best I could and make the first grade team and play NRL. So I think that mindset of having that as the main goal, like outweighed doing all that kind of stuff with the boys, sort of.
Yeah,
it really was really, my mind was really switched onto that and doing whatever I could to make it sort of thing. So
yeah,
that's where my head was at. Looking back on it now, I was sort of like, holy, I was pretty like switched on for like a 18, 19 year old sort of thing like then.
Yeah. What's happened now?
That's the main question everyone asks. What's happened to you, man? Too many head knocks. It's the arm. Jeez. We can get into that later.
Yeah, we'll get into that later, mate.
Warming up, guys. Yeah. Don't leave. Warming up. Just getting the backstory. And if anyone is tuning in right now, just getting hot. It's getting hot in here. This room's heating up. The lights are blasting. And
yeah. Well, like I put the aircon on 16 degrees so we can keep it cool. Yeah.
Oh.
16 degrees in here.
Yeah.
Put the aircon on before.
You go? Yeah. Yeah, good.
UKG was walking in.
Yeah, it's just getting hot.
Just talking about like training and like how hard you push yourself. As you mentioned, like you're pretty switched on as an 18, 19 year old.
Yeah.
Did you always have that hunger as a kid growing up? Or did that take time to develop?
I think I was always like sporty and competitive when I was younger. Just any sport I played, I always wanted to win. I think that's always been in me DNA to always try and be the best sort of thing. So I think that's something I've always had. And yeah, and just having, once I got to that stage of like wanting to be like honing in on one sport, I sort of like, yeah, just sort of had tunnel vision just for that and just went straight for it. And my mind was, yeah, already set up, ready to go to be the best. And
it was
pretty like something I've always had during my years.
Did you have anyone like guiding you along the way, or was it just something that was always in your nature?
My dad was always, if we're talking about guidance, he was always there driving me to training. And I suppose he was always there for me whenever I had to drive to training or go to a game or go anywhere. So looking back on that, that's something that I'm really grateful for, that I had my dad there to support me and drive me. Like when I didn't have my license, he was driving me everywhere and like putting all that time and effort into me and really want me to succeed. So, like, although he didn't say much, he did a lot, as in, yeah,
with his actions.
Actions, yeah, you know, like, really helped me out and gave me that opportunity to do it, to succeed in what I was doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Good old Bob.
Yeah, had me back.
Yeah.
Support from day one, sort of thing.
Yeah, I remember Bob in the crowds. All the families normally sat together, and I think Bob was pretty vocal when someone made an error in the team.
Yeah, someone inside me didn't pass the ball or didn't kick it to me.
I'm sure their families heard about it.
Yeah. I think there was the families are pretty close, and my dad would be giving it to whoever was inside me, and yeah. Pretty funny looking back on it.
What was your favorite moment playing first grade?
Well, it's probably the debut. It's like the top of the bunch. Yeah, making that run out the field and making that first run. You know, I was just like jumping in the air, like, yes, finally did it, sort of thing. And I've been doing what I've worked for and what I wanted to do, sort of my whole life, sort of thing. And that was sort of like the big moment. I suppose, yeah, one of the other favourite games is the one against the Broncos in the finals there. Even though we lost, I think it was 09.
Yeah.
Finals, like the atmosphere was huge, like Gold Coast, we were at Gold Coast versus the Broncos, the rivalry, and it was just, yeah, like you couldn't even hear your centre.
Yeah.
The guy inside you was just blowing up and sort of made a bit of a comeback, and we didn't win, but it was like just the energy was massive.
Great to be part of that.
Yeah, it was great to be amongst that.
What were some of the things you found hard about playing the game? It could be on or off the field.
On and off the field. Well, I don't know. I think probably training was probably the biggest thing, like doing the preseason off the field. Yeah, like doing all that preseason, like putting your body through all that stress and backing up day to day, day after day, just doing all them – all the workouts your body's sort of never done before when you first come in. But eventually you get used to it, but like just putting your – just a big mind battle of going through all that – all the preseason training and like survival of the fittest.
Literally is, yeah.
Yeah, like you can't handle it. You're sort of going to get thrown out.
You go into preseason with a bunch of guys who just won it more than the other one and you're all fighting for it.
Yeah.
It's hot. Uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Grass is making your skin itchy.
Yeah. Such a analogy of life, you know, like going through all the training and who really wants it, who really wants to be there and who doesn't, who's just there for the looks.
So the preseason, it's certainly one of the hardest parts about training. I've got 6 weeks off now, so I'm not going to enjoy it too much, but still got to do a little bit of training until that comes around. Because if you don't,
there's always that countdown, you know, in your head, like 5 weeks, 4 weeks. Geez.
Comes around real quick.
Am I going to be ready?
Comes around real quick.
Yeah.
Besides the game itself, what was the most enjoyable part of the week at training?
Training. Besides the game.
Yeah. Because I know the game's probably the most enjoyable because that's what you want to do. But outside of that. Surely there was something you enjoyed doing at training.
Big question. I have to stroke this a couple of times to my beard, if anyone's not watching the video. I love to, I love stretching down, you know, stretching. Like once you do a big massive workout, coming back and having a stretch and recovery and that was always enjoyable because you knew the hard part of the day was over and you could just take some time out for your body. You know, really just take your body in self-love. Like, all right, you've done it, buddy. You can relax now, have an ice bath and just enjoy it. Enjoy relaxing and winding down.
So relaxing at training was your favorite part. Favorite part of the week.
One sense, what I could come off the top of my head, but I suppose there is the enjoyment of like going hard in the gym, like going for the record days were pretty fun, like going for the records and like testing how strong you are and
yeah,
I suppose testing how what you've done in the pre out of off season and coming back. That was pretty fun if you were in shape and ready to show the coach what you've done in the off season. You're like, yes, I've done a lot. I'm all good, coach. I'm ready to go. Put me in. Don't worry about these new guys. I'm ready to go. Put me in, coach. Look at what I've done in the off season. Sign me up, man.
Oh man,
keep me in.
You're like, I'm in a laughing fit.
Yeah, coach. I've done a big off season. Look at my body, man. I'm good to go. Oh, you know, you always have the new people come in, like, oh, here's some new people. Like,
there to take your spot.
Take your spot, sort of thing. Like, so that little pressure. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's good to have no pressure now.
Oh, it's good to enjoy that part of the week at training.
Yeah.
I think mine was, mine's not as exciting as yours.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I think the wrestle mat, stretch mats, you know, when we sit down, have a stretch, everyone sits down and have a chat.
Yeah.
That's probably my most enjoyable part of the week at training. Mm. Everyone's just sitting there in a group environment, having a chat, finding out the goss for the week.
Yeah.
Boys telling some stories.
Mm.
I think they're probably the days at the Titans that I miss the most. Because all the guys that come and go that you become friends with.
Mm. I suppose I wasn't a very chatty person. I think I was still like in that little bit of a box sort of thing. So I didn't feel I could express myself as much as I thought I could.
Yeah.
So I feel like, everyone's different. Everyone's makeup's different, personality, and people thrive in group environments and people like to be alone and they thrive in that environment. And I feel like I was more of one of them guys, solo kind of guys. And but I did like the team environment of like, going after something and doing it together and
but you were always like experience. Dancing and stuff in the gym, entertaining that was your form of entertainment.
Yeah, yeah. It's more like entertaining and instead of talking sort of
that's
thing.
That's your part of like bonding with the guys.
Yeah,
sort of dancing.
Dancing and
making jokes.
Jokes and tricking people. And
try
to make someone laugh sort of thing and in that sort of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember you used to say you had a secret spot somewhere at the west of either Mudjaba or you remember why I used to ask you?
Yeah.
You'd put up a video or something and be like, hey, where'd you go yesterday? Every time I try to find out, you're like, secret spot. That's all you'd say back to me. I wanted to know where it was because it looked like a nice place to visit.
Yeah.
But you didn't want anyone else to go there.
Breaking news. We're going to reveal the secret spot on here. Exclusive. I think there was a few, but I think I could go through them, but at the time I didn't want to really. I sort of want to be, because you go to places and people were there, you sort of know, but and sometimes you sort of don't want to be around anyone, you know. It's a bit of truth, everyone's thinking it, but no one says it. But, you know, there is some days you just are like, oh, I just want to be by myself and not think about anything do nothing, be nothing, be no one, and no one to know you.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose I was like in that headspace of where I was at that moment, and now I'm sort of laughing at it now, but now I can share it.
Yeah.
Maybe it was meant to be, and now I can share it on this podcast with all the people.
Yeah. You
know? We may not have talked about it on here if I didn't say it was a secret.
Yeah. So now we've got something to talk about.
Now it's finally here. I think one of them was just, let's cut to the chase, eh? Yeah. Time's money. Money. People here. I think one of them was just Hins Dam.
Hins Dam.
Yeah, just like can't remember if that was one of them. Well, the other one was Springbrook.
I think Springbrook was
one of them. Or maybe Tambourine Mountain.
Was there one that you did the walk with, Gilly? Walk up the hill?
Oh.
With Trevor Gilmeister? Well,
that's the one he told me about. Yeah. Down in, that's where I did like a bit of off season by myself down in Victoria, where the hills are, Falls Creek or something.
Yes, something like that.
Yeah, Falls Creek. There's a bit of altitude there. I remember Gilly telling me about he went there and did some altitude training, and I went there, one off season. I think it was between World Cup year. Yeah, I got pretty angry I didn't make the side, and I was like, honestly, I'm going to go have a massive off season and prove them wrong, you know, sort of like my DNA. I'm like, I'm going to go have a big season, big off season, train hard, and come back even stronger and prove them wrong that, you know, I was a man. They should have chose me. we could have been good, man.
Still won the World Cup that year, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could have had a bit more entertainment.
Do you remember the moment you were going to make the decision to retire before sharing it with anyone else?
I think it was a bit of a 6 month to a year.
Thought process,
yeah.
It wasn't one single.
I remember having thoughts on the field a year before. I'd be out there and be sort of get these moments. I'm like, oh, what am I doing with my life? I'm just standing on the wing and just getting a ball and running it into someone. And just hitting me on the ground. What's going on? Is this life?
Was that you just desire to compete in that environment was gone, or was it? What do you think it was?
I think it was part that, competing in that environment and sort of thinking about other things that you want to do in life. I think when I got injured in 2011, I did my knee ACL and I was out for the whole year, and I sort of went back and made music and some videos and sort of helped, gave me a bit of space and time to do something else other than footy. Yep. Sort of opened my mind up a little bit, I could do other things with my life and not just football. And that sort of, I did that for the year. Then I sort of, once I come back, I did come back the next year and started playing footy again, and I started getting better and better, and sort of forgot about what I could do outside of football and sort of went back into football. And I sort of started getting hip injuries, but then I had a little flashes of what else can I do other than football? And sometimes we'd come on the field, sometimes in training, and I'd just be thinking about it a lot. And eventually it just gets the head noise gets louder and louder than thoughts, and you want to start thinking about it a lot more and more and more. And yeah, and then it sort of gets to that point where it's 50-50, and then you're like, all right, it's getting pretty serious. What do I want to change, sort of thing? This change is coming. I want to change. When do I do it? Then I sort of had that contract. I just signed a 3-year contract. I was 1 year into it. Yeah, then was going into that season 50-50 whether I wanted to do it, and my passion was going. And but yeah, I was sort of wasn't until I broke my nose that was the final sign for me. I feel looking back at it, I feel the universe has given me all these signs to look at other things and think about other things and open my mind up to other things in life. And I think the nose was the final sign. Broke my nose and went to seen the doctor and the nurse or whatever, and they said, oh, there goes your acting career. Then I was acting, oh, that's pretty cool. Hey, you can't tell me what to do. Actually, I might want to do that. That sounds pretty cool.
The nurse inspired you.
Yeah, nurse or the doctor. Because it's sort of like a slogan that people say, oh, there goes your acting career when you break your nose.
Or there goes your modeling life.
Yeah. And I was that sort of tickled my fancy. And then I was just that sounds pretty cool. And from then on, I was sort of thinking of ways to, went out and read books and spent a lot of time by myself, went to the secret spots and a bit of nature, reading and sort of thinking about my life. And yeah, it was a big decision because I had another 2 years on my contract and all the attachments to, something that you've done for 15 years or your whole life, and everyone knows you as that person. And it's a big change, I think, if that's something that you've always done, and your parents and your family and your friends know you as that person, you got all these attachments to it. And as well as the money, I had biggest contract of my life there. And so it was a money thing as well. I had to be enlightened for that sort of thing. I had to be ready to let go of money, that kind of money. And I was ready. And it was quite a big process for me. And I got through it. I feel like I made the right decision.
Yeah. What was the transition from professional rugby league to non-professional rugby league? Because it's not like you went into the workforce what most other guys would,
Yeah. Yeah, it was I knew my transition was going to be a lot different from the usual transition of other rugby league players, but I was ready to take that on and ready to be out of that, be the bird out of the cage, I think, ready, spread me wings, you know. Although that footy was at the time what I wanted to do, and that was my goal when I was at them years. But then as the years progressed, I sort of looked more internally and what I wanted to do. And at that time was sort of like acting, sort of creating, the artist sort of world was what was pulling me.
Were you nervous?
When transitioning into the next?
Yeah.
Buddy. Like the first step was like getting like a sort of like you sign up for the, that was me. Process was I was just going to go to school, acting school, and in Los Angeles, and then you could do like a little scholarship thing if you did like a monologue, which is just like a
talking on your own,
2 minute speech or something, 1 minute, 2 minute speech. So you're just sitting there talking to someone, to a few people, and I didn't even know what a monologue was when they said, "Oh, come in and do a monologue for us, and we'll see if you can get this scholarship and get a few dollars off the." Price sort of thing. So I was like, all right, this is the steps to getting there, to doing the next chapter. And I was just like, I think it was like one of the scariest things I've done, like auditioning sort of thing. Like I think it's always been something that's scary. Like you see it in the movies and I've always thought about it, like it's pretty scary. I was like nervous and scared. I didn't know what a monologue was, and I just looked up like Shakespeare things, and like looking back after doing it, like you sort of learn that, you know, you're not meant to do a Shakespeare like in monologues. So like it's sort of like, something that you don't do. But it's the only thing I sort of knew when I looked it up, and then went in there. That was no good. I was just, I don't know how I got the scholarship. I was just like standing there, like talking, and
just, like, so trying, it was a scholarship to get into a school in America.
Yeah, like a scholarship to like you could do it. Like just sign up and pay the full price, or you can do like a scholarship where you send in like a little audition, and they think you're all right, then they'll take like a few thousand off.
Yeah. Was it from that first audition that they took you in?
Yeah. They're like, oh, yeah, we'll give you a little scholarship.
Yeah.
Just did it, and I was like scared shitless, just like, holy, going in, doing something I've never done before. And then but after doing it, sort of like, I was just like, oh, I just felt free, It's just like,
get like, it done out of the way.
Yeah. Sort of like doing anything you're scared of sort of thing.
Yeah.
Sort of like if you're scared of something, it has its power over you, you know. It's like once you do it and then it doesn't have its power over you, it sort of like frees you up to just be or do more with your life. It's sort of like the lesson I got from it and carried that on throughout my life.
When you went to America, what was that experience like? Because that was in LA?
Yeah. Yeah, got on the next – wanted to make the next term out of here, start the year off the next season.
Yeah.
In terminology of football. Want to start the season off strong, get there in the start of the year. And yeah, the next year I retired in 2015, end of that year, then started 2016, went over there. And yeah, I just felt so free. I just went over there. No one knew me. I could be whoever I wanted to be. It's just like a whole new world pretty much for me. Like I was just, as soon as I got off the plane, I was just driving, just like singing, California, here we come. And yeah, I was just like loving
windows life. Down?
Windows down, like nearly a tear in my eye, you know, I was just like felt free as anybody could be. You know, I was just so happy and to be there, just to start a new life sort of thing.
And what's LA like to live there? What was a typical day looking like there for you? Did you go to school every day? Was it 5 days a week?
Yeah, we had I saw that when I first went there, I was like sort of like getting into it, like wanted to do extras and, you know, and do more than what they're doing. Sort of like took the footy, what I learned in footy and doing it there and do more than what everyone else is doing sort of thing. So I'd be like studying heaps and come back home and study a bit more than practice, because I was like pretty new. This is like new territory for me.
You could do as much as you can.
Yeah, never done it, so I had to like fully catch up a bit to like all the terminology and just everything around it, what to do, and so I can have a bit of confidence going into doing the whatever the course required sort of thing. So like day to day, sort of took in the sights a bit going there, and life is there, a lot more people and traffic. And yeah, it's pretty full on. You sort of appreciate space and nature when you come back to it.
Back to Australia.
Yeah, when I come back to Australia, and like, yeah, you don't.
Not as busy.
Yeah, not as busy. But.
With your acting and music producing, is there any goals that you have there? What are you looking to achieve from it?
Yeah, well, I did the acting thing. Then I sort of came home. I sort of found myself there and, like, found myself. Like, I let go of saying that. I let go of all the other football things. And I suppose it still hangs around, but, like, gave me the opportunity to let go of all the weight of football and all them attachments. And so I could be sort of have the opportunity to just be whoever I want to be. So I did that and I came back home and end of 2017, and sort of like I remembered I always liked to make music as well, and sort of just like another form of creating and being an artist of life, like you just create whatever you think of sort of thing. And
yeah,
music was another thing that I love to create. And yeah, I've been doing that for the last 3 years, I think, 3.5 years since I got back. Just been making music, and I suppose it's been like one of my goals just to eventually like do like a live show sort of thing. That's sort of like the big
picture,
big finale of the process of like,
yeah,
sort of like making it in this industry sort of thing. But it's a different industry, and like the road isn't as, I feel like the road to success in the art world isn't as plan as a plan like football. Like when, yeah, I compare the two, it's all like football has set up well. Like the NRL has done a good job with like coming through the ranks. You play pretty much, if you play good and you train hard and you go through the process, you'll get there sort of thing.
Yeah.
Sort of in the art world, it's sort of like it's a different, it's
a whole heap of different challenges. You got
different
to try
challenges, but everyone's different. So like you're expressing yourself. Where everyone in like football, they love football and you play football, everyone watches football sort of thing. And
yeah,
in the art world, you're doing your own thing. And like if people like it, they like it. They don't. And
yeah,
like everyone's different. Like not everyone's going to connect with that. And sort of like the risk you take, and sort of like that's the freedom of being an artist. You just do what you want. You don't have any, yeah, limits on you or conditions or what people think. And that's sort of the payoff you take being in the art world, just being the freedom to be you and have nothing holding you back.
Yeah.
But yeah, the goal is, yeah, to go live and put a live show on and sort of like,
yeah,
I think that's something I've always sort of been scared to do, like put on a live show and put my music on, play my music, sing my music, you know, and just put it on.
Have
put
your a crowd
show
there.
Yeah, and just, yeah, that's sort of little goal that I've always, yeah, had. So well, working towards that.
When you make it, I'll be showing everyone this podcast.
Yeah.
On New Year.
Yeah.
So hopefully I can get some VIP tickets.
Yeah, backstage. Yeah, I hope you had a hook you up. Just talk to my secretary, my producers.
But it must be a pretty good time, like, producing music with your mates, eh?
Yeah, most of the time it's by myself, like producing make my own music. That's sort of my process. I do a lot of it by myself, but then I do get my mate Blake in and to help out whenever I need him. He's like being sort of my go-to guy, like learning from him, like a lot of how to make music on like on the computer and that. And
yeah,
I'm at that point where I can sort of create my own ideas and bring them to life. And like once you, I don't know, it's just that, it's like in the zone, when you're in the zone, when you're playing footy, like you're loving it. You're like, you're not thinking about anything else. And you're like, I don't know, you get an intercept, you know, that feeling just running and
yeah,
that freedom. Like that's what you can get as well when you're doing music. And when it, anything that you love in life, you can really get in that zone of just not thinking and peace and harmony and happiness. You know, yeah, that's what I get when I'm in that zone of making music. And I sort of get it in other forms of life, like rollerblading and dancing and
yeah. But you know, so, you normally get it when it's something you enjoy doing.
Yeah, what I really love to do and I'm passionate about. And yeah, it's sort of I don't try to limit myself to just one thing, you know, like
yeah,
one, like as in music or acting or rollerblading. I sort of just keep an open mind about anything. Like
yeah,
I don't want to hone myself into one thing like I did with football sort of thing. Like
yeah, only one form of passion.
One form of passion, yeah. Like we can do whatever we want, you know. We're free beings. You don't have any limits. Only limits you put on yourself is you. So
yeah,
you can just be whatever you want. So me talking about anything sort of puts a limit on myself anyway. So if I was to say, I'd say I'm nobody. But right. It's like, it's pretty deep to say that. Like, it's always brought me back to wholeness, me, when I say that.
Yeah.
If you really think about it, like, being nobody is like, you have no attachments, no limits on you. You can just like.
You're not identifying with just a couple of things.
Yeah, you're not identifying with anything. So you got the freedom to be anything you want to be. Like,
yeah.
It's just like, wow, I'm getting tingles just talking about it. You know? Oh, yeah. Like,
well, you could decide to do something else tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then.
Just let everything go. Yeah. Yeah, I could just be anything else.
But that's what you mean by it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. For the more constructive talk, you can be anything, really. Like, you can just drop anything today and be something tomorrow. Like, you could be a musician tomorrow if you wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, drop the footy.
I've tried to sing when I was younger, and as a teenager, I never really liked it. I never liked the sound of my own voice.
Yeah, right. Yes, fair enough.
Even doing this podcast, when I hear my own voice,
it's pretty hard.
I wish it was like Morgan Freeman voice.
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
Like this. There's a man on fire. Right here. All right, let's do this. Get him.
You sure that's him?
Nah. I think it was. Can't remember.
Yeah, I was going to say, that does not sound like Morgan Freeman.
I thought I'd give it a go. You know.
Want to talk a little bit about, you probably touched on it just before, talking about like shyness and how to overcome it.
Mm.
I think I remember you, me, and Aaron, one of our good mates, were standing in an ice cream shop ordering ice cream in Gold Coast there.
Mm.
There's a few people ordering ice cream. And I ordered my ice cream. Aaron ordered his ice cream. And then we stood at the back. And then you're up ordering, and there's music playing. But you're ordering and dancing at the same time while there's other customers around. That's something I would never, ever do or consider doing because it's just so uncomfortable, you know?
Yeah. Why is that?
Worried about what other people are going to think about, you know, or laugh at you.
Yeah.
It is uncomfortable. I would probably have to do it. If I was paid like $100, I'd probably do it. But I wouldn't just do it out of, you know, just enjoying the music there.
Mm.
But you're able to do that.
Yeah.
Do you feel like any form of discomfort or anything like that when you're dancing like that or on the streets? I'd imagine you don't because you're free.
I feel like it's enlightening the world, I feel. I feel like people, like when I see someone smile and they're like, wow, someone's doing something different, you know, it sort of like breaks them out of their normal way of thinking. And like there is that way of looking at it where you don't do it because you care about what other people think. But yeah, I sort of come out of that, like when I went to LA and like acting is sort of a form of not caring about, you got to not care about what other people think. It's sort of like part of the job.
Yeah.
To be able to do certain roles, you got to be able to drop all your attachments, all your former ideas of yourself to become someone else sort of thing. And yeah, I don't really get the discomfort. I feel like it's more comforting to people when I see them smile and laugh and it's sort of like, yeah.
Because everyone's got that in them. Like if I'm at home with the two boys, Tennille, I'm just my weird self, dancing how I want, singing how I want, being annoying.
Yeah.
But like in a different big group setting, I'm not doing that, you know.
Yeah.
Just obviously weird. Context matters, but.
Yeah.
I wouldn't just dance in a shopping centre.
But isn't that weird? Like you do all these things with your kids and like, but if you're not with a kid, it's weird. Like if you did it around, if you do with kids and you're playing around, dancing, it's like, oh, he's so cute. Boys.
Yeah.
But then if you're just doing it by yourself, it's sort of like, oh, he's weird. What's he on?
Yeah.
Like it's pretty weird, like concept, eh? Like,
yeah.
At what age is it weird?
Well, I think it's more so the setting. Where if you're around all your acting mates and you're in the studio, there's hundreds, thousands of you, you're doing that. That's just a normal type of behavior.
Yeah.
Where if you're in a shopping center, it's kind of like, oh, this is a bit strange.
Yeah.
But I think it is freeing in a way.
Yeah, I feel like it's.
I don't feel like people can relate to it, but it's just like because it's a different setting.
Mm.
It's like, yeah.
I think that's what I like to do. I like being the different one and opening their minds up to different possibilities because you don't know, like, that person behind the bar or behind the shop could be like, you know, I want to be different or weird. And then if they see like me being not caring about what other people think. They can be like, oh, he doesn't care about what other people think. He's being weird. Maybe they can think, oh, I can be weird too, you know. So
yeah, they can definitely draw inspiration.
Yeah, that's how I see it. I don't see it as anything bad. I see it as a way to
I don't think it's anything bad at all. It's just it's just different to what you'd normally see every day.
Yeah. So yeah, I sort of try and bring the light to wherever I go, wherever, if it's a shopping center or rollerblading down the street.
And yeah.
And the videos I make, it's always try and find a little way to enlighten the world.
I'm sure it does to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Oh, so Kev, the next part of the podcast, there's some rapid fire fun questions.
Something like this. Rapid fire. You can maybe edit something like that. I suppose for podcasters, they don't know. You want to explain what's happening right now?
No, there's video on there too. So the YouTubers will.
Yeah, YouTubers, but like audio people, they'd want to know what's happening.
You can explain it. I'm going to explain it.
Yeah, we're just doing rapid fire and my titties are going rapid fire.
Anyway.
As he's saying it.
Yeah.
It's the moment.
Picture Terry Crews in Fridays.
Yeah, that and I think that's it.
It's KG's being Terry Crews in Fridays.
That suits the scene though.
Yeah.
Rapid fire.
Yeah. Who's your favorite artist? First rapid fire question.
As in like music or?
Music artist.
Well, lately I've been on the Van Morrison. I listen to him most days. I really connect with all his music. I've just gone through all his albums. And Van Morrison. And I suppose in the early days it was like Eminem. Yeah, like John Lennon and the Beatles and. It's always hard when you put someone on the spot, eh? It's like when you go up to karaoke, what's your favorite song? What are you going to sing? You just don't know.
I thought you'd have like top three songs that you just sing at a karaoke bar.
Nah, I can't think of it, eh?
All right. What's your fastest ever 100-meter time? I know you were a bit of a speedster back in the day.
Oh, I got last one I remember is like 11:10, I think I got back in year 12, year 11 or year 12.
Never timed it after that.
Nah. We did 40-meter times at the Titans.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I still – have I still got the record?
Nah, we should cover this. I'm pretty sure – let's just get it out of there. I'm pretty sure I got you every time.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Go on. You got to give it. Give the people.
There's a point.
Relieve the people.
I think it was a 0.02 difference.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was my way or your way.
Nah, you can't remember. I was very humble in the winning of it. Come on, you got to give the people.
Nah, you did. You got me covered.
You got to relieve the people. But we never did the 100 meters. That's why I never said I was faster.
We never actually raced.
Never. We always did 40, but I never did the 100.
Yeah.
So I never said I was faster than you. I just said we never done the 100 meters.
Yeah, I get asked that question a lot, but I humbly answer it as well. Say, all I say is, well, people ask me. Who was quicker at the Titans? You or Kevy Gordon? And all I say is, Kevy was pretty quick. That's why.
Yeah, I just say we never did the 100, so we don't know. Yeah.
The favorite NRL try you ever scored?
Oh, no, probably the grubber against the Bulldogs. Sort of like grubbered it down the sideline and regathered it and come back in.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
Seen that a few times on YouTube. So it's not a bad try, that.
And that other one you set up where you passed it to me like in the air, like you full back and you like threw it up in the air, like you didn't want me to score, right? You're like, yeah, take this. Threw it up in the air and I had to like catch it above my head, but I had to put it down with like
I was testing
no room.
Yeah, I was testing you out.
Yeah, it's good to good test that and sort of set up a good little finish in the corner against the Bulldogs.
If it wasn't a bad pass, you would have scored under the post.
Yeah.
Because it was a bad pass, it made it harder for you, and the try looked even better than what it should have been.
Made it real good.
If you were an animal, what would you be?
Ooh, rapid fire. I suppose it's always to fly like an eagle.
So, eagle?
Yeah, it'd have to be a flying thing, I think.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite quote?
Yeah. What was I said before? be nobodies, be everything. That one sort of hits me a bit. Everyone has their own little things that help them and their own little quotes and rituals that they say and do. And I feel like that one's really good for me.
Are you still breaking records in the gym? I saw your breaking records video last night.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I sort of done that and ticked that box off. So, you know, like if anyone asks me in the future, like, what was your heaviest bench press? And so, yeah, just watch this video.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I sort of – I've gone away from the gym. I'm more focusing on, like, flexibility and balance and been doing, like, Tai Chi. Hold the ball. Stroke the bird's neck. Yes. Few things in Tai Chi.
Yeah.
It's all about like balance and finding your inner core and chi. And yeah, I've sort of moved more towards that than the strength world sort of thing. I feel like flexibility is key for me at this moment in my life. Flexibility and balance.
Bruce Lee? Wrote that one?
I just made it up then. Really? But like if we want to go back in history, someone's probably said all these words in a combination in one format or another.
A little bit about
got to get the producer to laugh.
Yeah.
Okay. Mike's won't pick me up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jace is in the back. Just going.
Yeah.
This is a.
Thanks, Jace. Goal there.
Make a noise. A little bit about your album that's coming out.
You want to tell a bit about
it is out now.
Yeah. I thought you listened.
No, sorry. Yeah. It is out now.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah.
I'll have to get it and listen to it.
Yeah. It's called The Deepening. It's,
so what's it about?
Yeah. I suppose it's about being nothing really. For me, like The Deepening is sort of like a way to, for me, coming back to myself and finding yourself and expressing yourself more and in a more deep way. I sort of, in the music world, I sort of just done what I've sort of, that's come to me and whatever I've thought of, I've just written down and sung and rapped and I feel like I've stepped more into a deeper spiritual sort of helping soul awareness, like that kind of person. And I feel like, yeah, The Deepening is more about like helping other people and helping other people become aware of what's going on, what in the world. And I do have like other songs that are pretty funny, like just to knock the edge off, you know, like pancakes and just to, you know, lighten the mood up a bit. Yeah, have a bit of a laugh, you know, bring the energy of the world up.
Yeah.
A bit of a laugh and, you know, laughing and
I think
combination.
Yeah. You got a few albums out now?
I got two and I got two albums, two EPs and a few singles over the past, three years sort of thing. And so I've got another EP under my other name, Kevin Gordon. Because my artist name now is Deep Gordon, if anyone doesn't know. If
Deep
you
want to
search it up, Deep Gordon. Yeah, so.
Where can people buy your album and listen to it? Is it on iTunes?
Yeah, all platforms, YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, most platforms.
I've got your first album on my iTunes, so I'll have to go listen to it after this chat.
Yeah.
Get back into it.
Get behind it.
As we wrap up the podcast, do you have any final words of advice for anyone wanting to be themselves, but you know, finding it hard because they're worried what other people might think? We spoke about it throughout the podcast, but any final words?
Yeah, well,
thoughts.
I feel like if you question it you're on the fence, just go for it. You know, looking back at it. Like in the future, when you look back at these moments, you'd be like, yes, I'm so happy I made that decision. It just doesn't make sense right now. It probably doesn't make sense. But in the future, when you're looking back at your life, you're like, yes, I'm so happy I followed my passion, what I really love to do at that moment in my life. And, you know, we can get stuck in whatever it may be, distractions of life, as in your job, making money, drinking, watching screen, whatever it is, it can be anything, sport, shows, and you can get distracted. All things in your life just try to distract you from what you really want to do in your life, you know. Like I get caught in it. Like it's going to be a big thing in the next life, the whole from now on with the internet, you know, there's so many distractions at our hands ready to distract us from our lives and make us think a certain way, make us look at things and think ways and hear things, you know, so much marketing in our face. You really got to be able to connect to yourself and find yourself and meditate, just go be by yourself. And that's what I did. I went and I was pretty much by myself for a few years, just finding myself and being with myself, finding what I really love to do and what I like. And I feel like everyone needs to do that, be by themselves and think about what they really love to do. And like sometimes it helps to think about what you love to do as a kid before all the outside things started putting weight on you, like your parents telling you what to do, your friends telling you what you do, and what everyone, all the cool people are doing and all these other outside influences come on. Just trying to think about what you love to do as a kid before all that stuff happened, you know. That's what, you know, I like to rollerblade. That was one thing I like to do, and I feel like that can help a lot of people if they think about what they love to do as a kid. And, you know, it's, even though you got to make money in this world, like you do that, just come back to like what you love to do as a kid in your spare time, you know, and then you'll get in that zone of like, oh, I really love this. I'm like, I'm not thinking about too much, not worrying about anything. I'm just doing what I love to do. You know, it's something that everyone should do if they don't, and most people don't know it. They're just going through life and doing what they've been told to do and what's cool and what everyone else is doing. But if you can find out what you really love to do, just do it, then you can sort of work off that. Then you can snowball off that little thing that you found that you love to do, and yeah, been going for ages. Yeah. But that's a good little point.
KG, I could talk to you for hours on this podcast, mate. Mm. I can come up with like 1,000 more questions, and it'd be very entertaining. And obviously, we got a little bit serious there, which I thought would be very hard. We've never really spoken like that.
Yeah, it's pretty deep
outside of a podcast. Normally, when we're talking, it's always about laughing, joking around. Yeah. Stuff, but it's been great having you, mate.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for making the trip to Brisbane.
Yeah, I've got a present for you. Just want to say thanks for having me on the show. Thought I get your own little deep singlet.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, mate. I'll,
should fit you.
This is going to be something that it's one of those moments that's uncomfortable for me to wear this around.
Are you sure?
But you've inspired me, so
you know
I'll have to put this on.
Yeah.
For the YouTubers.
Yeah, it's going to be it's going to look good.
Alrighty.
Oh, here we go. Anyone listening, he's taking his shirt off and he's putting on a little same deep singlet as me. Wait, you got it on the back front?
Back front, is it? All right.
Might be a bit big.
Alrighty.
There we go.
Am I initiated into something now?
No, you're free. You're free nobody.
All right, I'm free.
Whatever you want to do.
Tell you what, KG, I feel like I'm drawing a lot of inspiration from this.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to be, it's going to be a process. I'm ready to be my weird self.
Yeah, that's it.
Thanks, KG.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, mate.
Stay deep.
If you've enjoyed this episode, then I'd love if you would hit that subscribe button, leave a comment or a review, and share it with anyone you think might enjoy it as well. For more behind-the-scenes content, head to my Instagram at davidmead411 and feel free to slide into my DMs if there's anyone you would love to hear from. I can't wait to bring you another episode next week, and thanks for listening to the David Mead Podcast.